Every new president is expected to go through certain rituals. He's expected, for example, to economize. The late President Roosevelt, as an illustration, gave up the White House yacht to save money, but when he wanted a sea trip, he used a Navy cruiser instead, so the net saving is pretty hard to figure. Mr. Eisenhower also sacrificed a yacht, but wound up with a fleet of large and small airplanes and helicopters. So far, Mr. Kennedy hasn't announced any major sacrifices, but he has said he will drastically reduce the size of the White House staff. Another required ritual is to tinker with the military establishment. Mr. Kennedy already has a series of recommendations made by Senator Symington for another reorganization of the Defense Department, but today Representative Kilday, a Texas Democrat and one of the authors of the last defense reorganization law, says that present law includes the authority needed for many of the changes recommended by the Symington report. But there might be some question about whether making the changes without another fight in Congress for another law would be quite cricket. Robert McCormick, NBC News, Washington.
Before the flurry of Christmas preparations gets you too snowed under, make sure you stocked up on plenty of Sylvania Blue Dot flash bulbs. There's nothing worse than getting caught with an empty flash gun at Christmas time. And right now, your photo supply dealer has a special pre-holiday offer. It's a lavishly illustrated 32-page flash guidebook from Sylvania. It's yours free with the purchase of just one pack of Sylvania Blue Dots. So if you want to get the greatest Christmas pictures ever, get this free flash guidebook and several packs of Sylvania Blue Dot flash bulbs, the world's largest selling brand today. This has been NBC News on the Hour. Listen again on the Hour for NBC Radio News. Later, hear Morgan Beatty's Quarter Hour News of the World on NBC Radio. Well, I see by the clock on the wall that there's a dusting job in order for Studio 3. It's kind of messy. I can just barely make the time. But it is 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time for the... Wait a minute. What's going on? Eddie, who is that guy?
I don't know.
Who are you, sir?
pardon me.
Yeah?
I am the staff announcer.
Yeah?
And Pear Shape is my name.
Yeah?
And
I think I saw you on lunch hour one day.
That's right. I don't get back here very often. I usually hang around the TV break booth, you see.
You make breaks on television?
That's right.
What do you say?
You know, Channel 4, Washington.
Are you the guy that does just the ones on the end of the, when there's 10 seconds?
Yeah, Channel 4, you know.
That's all you ever say?
Yeah. That's all I do, and I kind of feel like I'm in a rut. My last break was a 4 o'clock.
How long have you been doing this?
Huh? 10 years. Well, you know, television's about 12 years old.
Have you ever had to say the trouble originating in this picture is due to technical difficulties?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest line I ever had.
Good. I was wondering if you'd ever said anything besides Channel 4.
I did it once and the transmitter was off and nobody heard me.
Well, you know, that's what I never could understand. They usually make those announcements when the thing is, well,
I don't know. Anyway, the boy sent me back here. There's a note in my mailbox. And this was not my idea, fellas. Believe me. What does the note say? It says that they feel that you haven't been doing a fast enough pace on the show, and they feel it'd be better if a staff announcer introduced the show and liven it up a little.
Well, they just want the formality of an opening, isn't
it? Yes, so I want to make it, you know, one of the big type sounds.
All right.
It's not my idea. I hope you guys don't resent it.
Oh, I know. I'm an announcer. I'm a staff man.
I understand it. Okay.
Go ahead.
I got a little script here they wrote me.
Okay.
Right. Oops, I tore it there. From Washington, D.C., it's time for the Boy Joy Show with Willard Walker and Ed Scott.
Oh, wait a minute. The name of the show is not the Boy Joy Show, and this is not Willard Walker and Ed Scott.
Oh,
it's Willard Scott and Ed Walker.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, try it again.
I'll try it again.
Okay.
It's time for the 2-at-1 Show with Bob and Ray.
Now, just a minute, fella.
You really got it backwards.
Completely. First of all, 2-at-1 went off the air 3 years ago, and Bob and Ray is not our name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know what it is. It's time for Klavan and Finch.
No, that's a New York team. Come on, get the thing right here.
Damon and Pythia?
No.
Mary Margaret and McBride?
No.
No. Simon and Schuster?
No.
I told you it wasn't my idea.
Right.
I really don't know.
Play with the...
Who was it?
Look,
are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Wonderful.
Anthony
that's fine.
And Cleopatra?
No, it wasn't Anthony and Cleopatra.
What?
No.
I don't know who it is.
Walker and Scott.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, forget it.
I'm sorry. I'll
welcome.
Leave again.
Okay, leave again.
I just feel bad about
all
it.
All right, just go now, will you already?
You sure it wasn't?
No. It Romeo was and Juliet.
Frankie or Lane?
No. Welcome once again to the Joy Boys Show. It is a Wednesday afternoon, evening. We have our problems here in the program.
Yeah, but we're going to go ahead anyway. This is Ed Walker here.
Willard Scott here coming up on our program.
Art over here.
Oh, sorry.
Page.
And two engineers.
Bobby Shenton over there.
Crazy, Bobby.
From the WRC. Oh, do you want to re-up the show here?
Well, coming up on the program, yeah. I might add that we're going to interview our program director, Willie Grayson, so that you'll know exactly what's going to happen. Also, Mother Morgan's Boarding House is on tap today.
Mm-hmm.
And in the lineup, the answer man will be here, the ever-popular answer man. Now, here's the public service.
What do we have on the bulletin board this evening?
The Rockville Rousing Razors are having a rigging rousing razor, I understand.
Yes, they're going to raise the riggings in Rockville tomorrow evening. If you'd like to have a rousing rigging raise, attend the Rockville Rigging Raising Rouser. What?
I didn't get that. They sent it to the mail from the department. I just... People have been asking us for years what's on the other side of the moon. We'll tell you, little men trying to duplicate the Rambler, because they know that the Rambler for 1961 is the finest car on this earth, and they'd like to have one on the moon. If you'd like to see new styling and new comfort and engineering features, see them all right now wrapped up in your beautiful Rambler for 61 at your Rambler dealer. All right, Edward?
Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't too often that we get to chat on the air with our superiors, our bosses, the people who work upstairs, as they say, in the radio television business. But tonight, we thought we'd like to chat for a few moments with our program director, a wonderful man who is responsible for us being on the air in many respects, Mr. Bill Grayson.
Don't tell the people that. Get his name and probably bomb his house.
They might do something like that.
Bill,
he had threat.
Really wonderful to have you on the program. You know, something that's bothered me, though, for a long time, Bill, is... You've been here for 20 years here at WRC, and we're a big NBC station, and it seems to me that you ought to go to New York and be a big executive. All you have to do, Bill, is follow in the footsteps of some of the other big NBC executives.
No, sir, I do not follow.
You're a man among men, Bill. You are steadfast in your own beliefs.
Yeah, well, Bill, I mean, it's not the point of you have to get out there and play footsie all the time. All you have to do is change a few things, like your memos. Your memos are always good, but if you could change a couple of phrases, change a few commas, change, you know...
Impossible. My blood curdles to think of altering one comma.
Hmm. Well, Bill, I've noticed one thing. Being in New York occasionally myself, a lot of the executives up there seem to be a lot less experienced than you, and they seem to be very well paid.
Yes, but not so well as I.
Well, I mean, Bill, financially, it seems as though a lot of the men up in New York who've had a lot less experience seem to be greenhorns compared to you, make a lot more money than you do.
I pay myself 100 times.
I see, Bill. I understand that, too, but still, I can't understand, Bill. It seems to me that you're just a little bit too proud.
You have observed that?
Yes, we have, Bill. We've observed that quite often.
Yeah, I just don't understand it, fella. I mean, we love you here, Bill. You've been good to us, one of our good friends. Bill, look, have you read the NBC Executive's Handbook on how to be a success in radio?
I have. And found myself the hero.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I understand your modesty there, Bill, but did you catch the chapter? Chapter number 13, the one on the windmills? You know, Bill, if you mess with windmills, they can change your entire
life. My enemies change them with every wind.
That's right.
That's exactly what Willard was trying to point out. A windmill is a very tricky thing. For example, a windmill can cast you down into the muck and mire.
Or up among the stars.
I guess that's possible, too, yes.
Bill, I just can't understand it. You don't make sense, Bill. I mean, if you would just make a little bit of sense and explain to us what you mean.
There you go again, growling.
No, he's not growling, Bill. He just wants a simple answer. You've got to realize that you're not doing exactly what you should be doing.
Look, kid, just, Bill, start hobnubbing a little bit with the big people in town. Get your names into the papers and columns and, you know, things like that.
What would you have me do? Seek for the patronage of some great man and, like a creeping vine on a tall tree, crawl upward where I cannot stand alone? No, thank you.
No, Bill, you missed the point. I mean, just mix with some of the big names. You know, go down and have lunch, you know, any time.
On the golf course every once in a while, and have these guys out to your club. Just be well-known so they call you Bill. You know, they see you and they say, hiya, Bill. Be well.
Eat a toad for breakfast every morning. Make my knees callous and cultivate a supple spine. Wear out my belly grubbling in the dust? No, thank you.
Bill, you're changing our words all around. I don't think you quite get the point here, Father.
Bill, all you have to do is put up a little simple front.
Shall I labor night and day to build a reputation on one song and never write another?
No, that's...
Shall I find true genius only among geniuses?
Bill, you're...
Bill,
palpitate over little paragraphs.
Bill.
And struggle to insinuate my name into the columns of the Gazette?
No.
Bill.
No, thank you.
All right. Bill, for heaven's sake. Look, Bill... This is your big chance. Right now is the time that you can make it or break it. You're not getting any younger, let's face it.
Calculate, scheme, be afraid, love more to make a visit than a poem,
no.
Seek introductions, yeah. Favors, influences.
Oh.
No, thank you. No, I thank you, and again, I thank you.
Well, Bill, at least you're set in your ways. I'll say that for you, if that's your attitude.
Oh, it's attitude,
yeah. Thought maybe with a new year, you might turn over a new leaf and be a new man.
Bill, you're just proud.
In a word... I am too proud to be a parasite, and if my nature wants the germ that grows towering to heaven like the mountain pine, or like the oak sheltering multitudes, I stand not high, it may be, but alone.
That was our program director.
Irresistible always, and in all ways irresistible. Wise potato chips are the extra tempting food for all occasions. They look so golden good that you just have to taste them. They taste so crisp and fresh, you can hardly stop until they're gone. That's why Wise potato chips are sure to be popular at any party, large or small. Wise potato chips pep up meals, add extra appeal to every lunch or dinner. And whenever you yearn for a snack, Wise potato chips go perfectly with your favorite beverage. Yet are so flavorful they can be enjoyed by themselves. Party time, meal time, snack time. You and everybody you know will enjoy Wise potato chips every time. They're irresistible always. And in all ways, irresistible.
Yes, Chicken and Dumplings was an old vaudeville team.
No, This Gun for Hire was not written by Al Capone.
Yes, The Battle of New Orleans was written by Andrew Jackson.
No, On the Beach was not filmed at Ocean City. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. Now in its 83rd year, each week at this time, the Mansergan answers the questions you, the radio listeners, have sent to him. Now here he is, the Mansergan.
That's Answer Man.
Excuse me.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
Got your bifocals on backwards there.
Terribly sorry, Mr.
But anyway, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and hello there, Willard Scott.
Hello there, Mr. Mansergan.
Answer Man.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and now I see we have a mailbag full of letters.
Yes, we do, sir.
All right, let's get to our first question here.
Very good, sir. Mr. First Nighter of Alexandria writes, whatever happened to the starving actor?
Starving actor, well, the curtain went down on him with a roll, you might say.
Brought a roll down.
Yeah, that's
injecting
it.
A little humor there.
Yes,
the answer.
I thought I'd sort of be a funny man.
Pretty cute there, the starving actor. Curtain came down
with a roll. Get it?
Miss Fitt of Arlington wants to know, where did the graceful art of bowing begin and why?
Bowing? Well, that actually began a long time ago before men had belts and suspenders and they had to bow to sort of hold up their pants.
Little curious listener from Bethesda would like to find out. In mythology, under what sign do you find Leo the Lion?
Leo the Lion can usually be found under the no-smoking sign at one of the big movie studios out there in Hollywood. He just stands there in the sun watching the actors go by and gets his fee that way.
A ne'er-do-well from Rockville.
Wait a minute. I wouldn't talk about our listeners that way.
This is Arthur. A Arthur ne'er-do-well.
Oh, that's different.
From Rockville, right? In one of our nation's first wars, before we became an independent country, the French and Indian War was fought. I understand it was not a war between the French and the Indians, and if not, whom was it between and why was it so called?
Yes, well, that was a good question. It was actually between the Indians and the English. No, the English and the French. The Indians and the, well, the Cleveland Indians and the Detroit Tigers.
You've been listening to radio, time-honored program, The Answer Fellow. If you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, just address a card or letter to The Answer Man Fellow, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartburn 2, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be listening again next week when once more we'll present the...
Answer Man. Right. Listen, next time let me know what the questions are. I'm just embarrassed.
I know, Bobby. I'm trying to take diction lessons the best I can. We haven't got time for any more music, George. Eddie called up a minute ago, and he said that he'd like to hear something funny. So I think we have something funny in store. We switch you now to our remote studio. It's time once more for Mother Morgan's Boarding House. At Mother Morgan's friendly old boarding house that stood on the same spot for the past 75 years at 1717 Street Southwest in good old downtown, we find friendly old, kindly old Mother Morgan, where she's been running her boarding house now for 75 years, with her fine old boarding friends, Uncle Horace, Horatio Alistair, Mad Drake the Magician, and Mabel Magnolia, along with the 22 kindly old people who live at Mother Morgan's boarding house. As our story opens, we find ourselves in the big old dining room at the big old oak dining table where all the boarders...
Yeah, sit down and put on a feed bag.
I remember when I was with the old Cuba Circuit back in 1829. I was doing the Shakespearean Theater with all the good folks. Would you pass me the more salted peanuts?
Certainly. Would you pass me the sauerkraut, Horatio, that you...
I will pass you the sauerkraut, Horatio.
Did I ever tell you about the time on my daddy's plantation down south?
No, I don't believe you did, Mabel. Pass the spare rib, please, honey.
Certainly, Uncle Horace.
Excuse me, Uncle Horace. Yes, what is it? I was just hoping you'd pass a little more butter down here. I've got some
butter coming right up. Here you go.
Oh, thank you very much. Say, what happened to Mother Morgan? I understand Mother Morgan's back in the kitchen trying to fix the stove.
Oh, well, I hope she can fix it because the food is so good.
Please come out and help me light the stove.
I think she wants somebody to...
I would be most happy to, Mother Morgan, but I'm in the process of finishing off my spare rib, thank you.
Take it from me as a magician of many years' experience. I could light the stove.
Somebody please come out and help me light the stove!
Yes, I'll light the stove for you in just a few moments, Mother Morgan, as soon as I devour this last bit of spare rib.
I wish somebody would help Mother Morgan light the stove. I want some more fried chicken.
Well, I think it's somebody...
Will somebody please come out and help me light the stove!
One of you boys ought to be a gentleman and go out and help her light the stove.
Certainly, one of you all ought to be a gentleman. After all, down south, the age of chivalry is not dead. Somebody would be sure to help Mother Morgan light that stove. I want you to know that.
Excuse me, but I would like for somebody to please go back in the kitchen and help Mother Morgan out of the stove. Yeah, I think we better do that. Come on, Horatio.
And so we say goodbye to the kindly folks at 7717 17th Street, the house that stood on the hill for 75 years, and the kindly old Mother Morgan, Uncle Horace, Horatio Alistair, Madrake the Magician, and all the others. So long, until next time.
Somebody heard it there. We are the
joy, boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
And so we're operating on just about one cylinder, I guess you might say, this evening. My beloved partner, Ed Walker, is still home, although yesterday he went out for dinner for the first time and ran up a bill of $33.40. Tomorrow night, he's going to take Nancy with us. I want to thank you very much for listening. I still have a little bit of a cold. Thanks to our engineers. This program is heard by the armed forces overseas.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Be listening tonight when Mac McGarry drinks a soda too fast over WRC NBC in Washington.
Hi there, this is Al Ross. Well, what do you know? It's that season again. Yep, Christmas time is here. It's supposed to be a happy season, and we want to make it just that for everybody. As you know, every year we open our WRC dollhouse and collect toys and gifts for the needy youngsters. This year we'll be set up at a new location. We call it the Christmas Circle. And it's right here in front of the NBC studios at 4001 Nebraska Avenue, Northwest. We hope you'll visit the dollhouse as soon as you can and leave gifts for the needy little children and the teenagers, too. Every year in the past, organizations have been helping us remember these needy youngsters, and we're surely counting on their help again this year. This is our 25th year for the dollhouse, and we hope you'll help us make it the biggest ever. Bring toys and teenagers' gifts to the WRC Dollhouse at 4001 Nebraska Avenue Northwest.
WRC, WRC, FM, NBC in Washington. The time, 6 minutes past seven.
Okay, Edward, I guess we might as well try to bomb through another one today.
I'm kind of depressed. Did you see that memo that came out this morning?
Yeah, I just got it. The program director says the show yesterday was a real bomb. Please try to improve the comedy at least. The music could be better. Program director doesn't even sign his name anymore.
Kind of gets you a little bit, you know. You work hard on a show and then something like this happens.
Yeah.
You got a letter there. Maybe that's some good news.
What, the letter?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I'm opening it up here. Dear Mr. Squat, Mr. Walker, caught your show yesterday. If all my radio listening, I've never heard such a bad program. The music was...
Who's that from?
Huh? A listener in Falls Church.
No wonder they're unhappy.
Terrible.
Hey, that reminds me, fellas.
I tell you,
my wife caught the show yesterday, so the only thing good about it was my engineering, so the rest of it was pretty bad.
Oh, no. Why? They always seem to run like this. What's Bob trying to say? What's Bob saying?
Said Ruth caught the show yesterday. She didn't think it was too good either.
That's terrible. Why don't they just leave us alone? I mean, so that one day we do a bad show. I'm going to call.
Yeah, they get the correct time. Well, you can't have all the good shows. TI-4-2-5-2-5.
TI-4-2-5-2-5. All right, this will be all right anyway. That's been fantastic, amazing, you know.
The correct time is 6 1/2 minutes past 4 o'clock.
Boy, it sure is refreshing to hear somebody with a nice, pleasant voice for a change.
By the way, I caught your show yesterday, and it was a real bomb.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Play the theme.
The joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
And ladies and gentlemen, believe me, it's a pleasure to be with you again on this lovely Thursday evening here from Radio Central in Washington, D.C. This is Ed Walker's friend, Willard Scott. Eddie Walker is recovering nicely, thank you. I bit my tongue, excuse me. It hurt. Not bad. Better than the beef in the cafeteria. Anyway, Ed Walker will be back Monday. He's doing nicely, and we're awful glad to have you all aboard again. Today, Miss...
No, she isn't on today. We scratched Miss Janitor. The sod buster will be along. We also have just plain Stella Bear, and we're going to take you interview a gentleman who has a very unusual occupation. He's a watermelon thumper, and we're going to interview him later on in our program. We want you to know that we really appreciate your patronage and hope you enjoy the program. A couple of commercials and a few records, and some of the music goes like... Ray Ellis and the orchestra, and that's called Brazil. Perhaps you hear them fading away in the background, gently, as they say aloha. I want to talk to you for a moment here on the Joy Boys on WRC from Washington, D.C., about the beautiful new Rambler for 1961. Your Rambler dealer is the only dealer who sells a complete line of compact cars for 1961. All new Rambler Americans, all-purpose Rambler Classics, and the luxurious Ambassadors. And you ought to see the beautiful engine, beautiful, most gorgeous engine in the world.
Ah, that's right, Kimosabe, heap big engine.
Well, I mean, cars. Hello out there. This is your announcer, Horace Faye, speaking to you from the beautiful Club Car in downtown Washington, one of the real night spots and hot spots of the town. And, of course, we're looking for unusual occupations and interesting interviews. And we're going to take our portable microphone over here to this table.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Watch it. You knocked my water over there, Charlie.
Sorry. Could you sit down, sir?
You're just moving in on me? Yeah, I'm just enjoying my dinner.
I beg pardon, sir. My name is Horace Face. I'm from WRC.
Yes, you do have the face like a horse.
How do you do?
I must say.
I understand that you, according to my card here, have a very unusual occupation. Would you care to tell us about it?
I am a watermelon thumper.
I beg your pardon?
I say I'm a watermelon thumper.
A watermelon thumper?
Yeah.
You thump?
Watermelons.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand. What does a watermelon thumper do?
Well, a watermelon thumper checks the watermelons to find out if they're good, you know, and you thump them so that you'll know whether the watermelon's good or bad.
Oh, I see. You're a watermelon plugger.
No, I said I'm a watermelon thumper, not a plugger.
Oh,
that's our arch enemy, the watermelon plugger.
I don't know
how you can even mention that in the same breath.
Don't get all right.
Thumper.
No, don't get all right.
Just don't you forget it, Charlie.
Sure. I'm sorry. I thought a watermelon plugger and a thumper were about the same thing.
Obviously, they are not.
Well, I mean, with the plugger, you mean defaces the watermelon.
Exactly. Whereas a thumper can tell by his ear, by thumping the watermelon, whether it is a ripe watermelon or whether it should be thrown out. And you do not deface the property, the watermelon. You don't have to make a cut in the watermelon.
Well, please.
All right.
Get off the table. People are watching us.
Upsets me.
I know. Well,
please
accept my apologies. I didn't
know
that
you're
that sensitive about the thumping and the plugging.
Don't let it happen again. That's all.
I notice you have a few watermelons on your table. This makes rather unusual sight here at the Club Car. There are all these watermelons lined up on the table. Would you tell us about that?
Well, I want to know a little bit about my background.
We have to.
Well, you're the guy that's doing the interview. I don't want to tell you your job or anything. But
I see you got
an advanced. We rehearsed it the other way.
You've got an advanced copy of the script. Very good. Well, have you always been a watermelon thumper?
No, I started out on smaller items. I was a great thumper when I was 11 years old.
Yes.
And then I gradually moved up into the major leagues, as it were. I became a plum thumper when I was 16.
You were a plum thumper? Was this a part-time job after high school?
Yes, that's
thumping
right.
Thumping plum.
And then when I was 21, when I got out of college as a graduation present, my dad got me a job thumping watermelons. It was sort of like going on the network, you know? It was a big break.
Really hit the big time. Have you ever thumped cantaloupes?
Oh, yes, I did. I thumped cantaloupes part-time one summer.
I see.
Back in the Depression there, and I had to, you know, make ends meet.
Well, if you don't mind me delving into your personal life, you are certainly a well-dressed man, and I understand from the head doorman that was your Cadillac parked out front.
Oh, yes.
Watermelon thumping must pay off.
Oh, yeah, we do very well.
What do you plan to do with this in the long run?
Well, I have trained myself. I have become very musical at this watermelon thumping.
You don't mean to tell me that you can play music out of thumping watermelons?
Oh, yes. These watermelons on the table here are all tuned. I have got a little juice in there. And I got them all tuned up there chromatically.
Yes.
And then next week I'm going to be on the Original Amateur Hour with Ted Mack.
That's wonderful.
Playing my watermelons.
Would you play your watermelons for us?
Well, yes. If I can have the attention of the crowd here, I'll
People, thank you. Would the band stop playing?
Right, I'll hold it down, boy.
Thank you. We're now going to witness, ladies and gentlemen, the first performance of... what is your name, incidentally?
Uh-huh.
I didn't even get your
Herman
name.
Thumper.
This is a first performance. Mr. Herman Thumper is going to thump his watermelons and play a song. Mr. Thumper.
All right.
Hey,
I think. Hey, I think that
was Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Right, you recognize it.
We
huh?
have just heard the first performance of Herman Thumper, who thumps his watermelons to the tune of Yankee Doodle Dandy. It's the first thumping Yankee Doodle Dandy we've ever heard. And it's been a pleasure, Mr. Thumper, and we wish you lots of luck.
Thank you very much.
We take your watermelons now and get out of here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Irresistible always, and in all ways irresistible. Wise potato chips are the party food that every guest is sure to be tempted by. Old friends and strangers as well find Wise potato chips just too good to resist. So crisp and golden, they make for party time popularity all around. The fresh, full flavor of Wise potato chips goes perfectly with all party beverages and with all other party foods. They're the finest potato chips made. So if you're planning a party, or if you have friends who just might drop in, you'll want to have plenty of Wise potato chips on hand. Just be sure the brand you have is Wise, because Wise potato chips are irresistible always, and in all ways, irresistible.
And now, once again, King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the heartwarming story of just plain Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hochberg, in the title role of Kindly Mama Bear. It is early Saturday morning as our story opens. We find Mama Bear and Papa Bear and their young 38-year-old wealthy playboy son Herbert out on the front porch. Apparently, they've just bought Herbert a new gift. Shall we join them, as Papa Bear says?
Now, Herbert, this is just for you to get some exercise because your ma says you're overweight, so we went out and bought you a new bicycle.
Oh, that sure is a nice-looking bicycle there. Thank you. That's a whole lot there, Ma.
Yes, well, Herbert, you're 220 pounds and you're 5'2" tall. You look like a wiener schnitzel with legs.
I'm a trifle on the heavy side there.
Chubby little rascal.
Well, I'm going down and get on my bicycle and take a little ride here, okay?
Well, I hope you like your new bike. It's a present from me and your pappy.
Oh, it's got a bell on it, too, don't it?
Yes, everything is modern on that bicycle.
Well, I'm just going to go around the block once or twice, okay?
Okay, Aunt Liver. See you in a minute. There you go. Aren't you proud of him now? Papa Bear, look at him go on that bicycle.
Oh, look, he's quite a handsome spectacle there, ain't he?
Oh, look at him go. He's having so much fun.
Where's the brake on here? I want to stop at this.
Come on up the driveway, Herbert.
Okay, but I can't stop.
You know where the brake is, Herbert. Oh, Herbert Bear, what is wrong with you?
Well, you told me it was an English bicycle.
Oh, for heavens.
Looks like Herbert didn't realize that English bicycles have handbrakes. I see his foot there backwards around the chain. He's really trying hard to stop it. What a sight to call Dr. Zhivago or somebody with a bigger problem. King Kong Zhivago has brought you another episode of Just Plain Still a Bear, the story of love and tenderness in a world too busy to care. Starring Margaret Hochberg in the title role of Kindly Mama Bear. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Klein, adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
I think I'd rather be heavy than healthy.
You can't even add a little bit.
Preceding was transcribed. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on radio, we have 30 seconds to tell you about a wonderful, amazing new offer. The National Broadcasting Company has available 17 copies of this music. Would you listen, please? The music you're hearing in the background was organ fill music that was used during network shows when technical difficulties were occurred or when the censor discovered something that shouldn't be said on the air. If you'd like a copy of this beautiful background music for your own home phonograph, won't you send $1,000 check, mail, or money order to WRC, the Joy Boys, Washington, D.C., and have your own organ fill music when something goes wrong at your parties or at your house. Thank you from our staff. West on the Cawthon Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Platinum. With a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho slobber, the Sodbuster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater champion of justice. A more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, deep-eating son of the sod. It's the Sodbuster. A true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him. Little children respected him. Women loved him. A true gentleman.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Return to the start of those thrilling days of any old year we find roaming about the bad wild land. The Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard. Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard. I think I read that line. With his sidekick, Chester Drawer.
Come here, Chester.
Yes, Mr. Defender. Oh, you kicked me right in the side.
And now for today's exciting story. Sun settles down on the sleepy town of Tacoma Park. We find the Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard, inside the hot dog saloon in Tacoma Park, apparently talking to a bunch of disgruntled farmers.
Hey, Marshal.
Tell us, Marshal.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
We've
got troubles here, Marshal.
That's right. The cattle ain't had enough to eat now for 6 weeks.
Now, just a minute. The
weather's been hot.
I said, wait a minute.
All right.
I've sent Chester out to find more range. He should be back any time now. We'll have plenty of water and grazing area for your cattle. I know it's been a rough month here.
Yeah.
I know it, Marshal.
Yeah, a real hot one.
Here comes Chester, Marshal.
And there comes Chester through the door there. Chester?
Howdy, Marshal.
Chester, did you have any luck, boy?
Sure did. Don't you see it on my back, Marshal? Let me set her down here.
Chester. Chester, what in the world is that?
Marshal, this is your new range you's a-looking for.
A new range? What is that thing?
This is a new tap-in, Marshal. It's got an automatic thermostat control on it. It's got a 40-inch wide oven.
Chester,
got six
that's
burners.
A stove.
It is a range, though, Marshal.
Tapping? I'm going to start tapping you on the head, Chester. I sent you out to find range for the cattle.
But, Marshal, ain't you heard? It's almost old stove roundup.
Oh, no.
The Sodbuster is written for radio by Larry DeRidge, produced by Bernie Harrison, directed by Dave Rickway. The entire production is supervised for NBC Radio by Bernice Wilnick.
I will not.
Don't.
Take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
We wish to thank our staff of engineers, the wonderful people of the program department, the sales department for selling two commercials, the continuity acceptance department for clearing our script, and, of course, the wonderful people in the music room who make the nice music possible. Ed Walker's still away. He'll be here on Monday. It's Willard Scott. Thanks again. This show is heard overseas.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
RCA's Little Nipper does a guest shot with Mac McGarry tonight over WRC Radio.
Early mailing of Christmas cards and gifts is the biggest single factor in getting all mail delivered before Christmas. Post office facilities have been expanded, and everything is geared up to handle a record Christmas mail in Washington this year. Follow these three simple rules to ensure prompt and safe delivery of your Christmas gift packages. Wrap them securely, address them correctly, mail them early. Wrap your Christmas gifts carefully by using heavy paper, corrugated cartons, and strong cord. You can speed delivery of your Christmas cards by securing free labels from the post office, indicating all for local delivery and all for out-of-town delivery. And sort and tie your cards in two separate bundles with the addresses all facing one way. Remember, only Christmas cards carrying first-class postage may include a personal message. Always include your name and address on the Christmas card envelopes. This is socially correct and helps both you and your friends to keep mailing lists up to date. Mail all Christmas gifts and cards for distant points before tomorrow, December 10th. WRC and WRC-FM, Washington.
The secret word tonight is stay young and fair and save your hair. And it's a few minutes after 7 o'clock here at the National Broadcasting Company, 4001 Nebraska Avenue in Washington.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. I'm so proud to be here. Good evening, Scott, Mr. Walker.
How do you do, sir? I'm in charge of studio hygiene here at NBC, a new job.
Wait a minute. Studio hygiene at NBC?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I have never heard of that department. You don't have a phone listing or anything.
Ooh, we just created it. It's our belief that our studio should be hygienically clean so that the announcers will not be subjected to viruses and miss days on the air.
In other words, you're supposed to keep the studios perfectly clean?
That is exactly why I am here.
Well, I think our boys at night do a beautiful job. The studios are always nice and clean when we come here in the morning.
Well, first of all, there's one thing that I noticed right away.
What's that?
That big glass window. Let me just take that out of here. Why have a big glass window in this little tiny room? That's silly.
Now, wait a minute. That's the control room window. That's the only thing that separates us from the engineers.
Yes, and that keeps you from having proper ventilation. Now, look at these old curtains on the wall. Let me just rip these off.
Wait a minute. Those curtains were just put up last year. They're brand new. They cost $50 for each. Oh, but you're ripping the curtains.
Dust collectors. That's what they are. Dust collectors.
Well, now, that's kind of embarrassing to us. You know,
let me ask you a question.
We're exposed to the whole Studio One over there.
Do you all use this table?
What, this table here?
Do you all put your same old dirty elbows on this table?
Yeah, this is our table.
These same old chairs.
Yeah.
Disgraceful. Let me get
away.
Hold
it. Away.
Let me get these things out of here.
This is a little bit ridiculous. Leave the chairs and tables alone in the studio. They're all right the way they are. Wait a minute.
What?
Why are you? Look, I have no feet. I'm standing up here about a foot away from the microphone. Eddie, he took your seat.
I know.
This is ridiculous.
Now then, if you'll just follow me, gentlemen, I'll show you where we're going to broadcast.
What do you mean, follow
you? Come right with me. Open this door right over here. Now, right outside.
Well, we're in the parking lot of NBC in the back of the building.
Breathe in that fresh air.
Well,
your show may not be good, but at least it'll be clean,
for heaven's sake.
The joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, sir, it's time for the Joy Boys. It's nice to be outside, isn't it?
At least we're getting fresh air.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand why they had to take us out of our studio and wreck all of our beautiful turntables and chairs and equipment.
That's a mosquito.
Yeah, we're getting ourselves all bit to pieces here.
Now, this is the Joy Boy Show for Friday evening, and it's nice outside. This is Ed Walker here.
This Willard Scott over here.
I'm getting cold.
That's Arthur Page, our engineer.
I wish I was back inside, too.
That's Arthur Semig, our other engineer. Mm-hmm. This is the Age of the Arthurs. And that's Don McDowell, the Vermont Green Blade over
there.
Yes,
sir. That's right, sir.
He just came in off dinner hour, and he's got mustard smeared all over his Lord Fauntleroy jacket. His mother is very picky about the way he dresses.
Well, we got a big cricket over here, a frog or something. I think he's looking for summer announcers.
He is the construction expert at Broadcast House, and he's trying to learn some tricks over here.
Would you like to mention what's going to be on our show tonight?
Uh-oh. I think when you roll back there, you squash
him. I got him.
Well, that's about how to get rid of the competition.
Tell him what's on the show for tonight, will you?
Yes. Coming up on our program tonight, we have a very exciting program. We're going to expose management here at NBC.
Hey, how about that?
So everybody stay tuned. Actually, Captain Daybreak will be along with the adventures of the great old American saga.
Saga?
You haven't seen our paycheck this week, have you?
Yes.
Also, we're going to interview a sleepologist.
Uh-huh.
Aren't you going to ask me what he
is? What is he?
He's a man who, I don't know what
he helps you sleep, I guess. That's right.
We'll find out. Also, Mr. Fix-It is going to fix it.
That's it. He does.
So, we have an award, I think, Edward.
Oh, do we?
Yes, sir.
Oh, what is it?
The National Association of Mattress Manufacturers has just voted this the biggest sag in radio.
How about that?
What we call pulling him out of the fire?
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, a footnote. The mosquito you heard earlier on this program appeared through the courtesy of the exterminating company. That's very, very talented and very wonderful Sophie Tucker, Miss Show Business. The great Sophie. And that's one of her collector's items there. You can't sew a button on your heart. This is the Walker Scott Joy Boys program. You know, during the busy Christmas days ahead, you'll find convenient, thrifty shopping at Safeway and some wonderful ideas for meals. Here's economy with quality and flavor. A smoked picnic from Safeway. Featured this week, whole, for only 29 cents a pound. Like all meats you buy at Safeway, smoked picnics are fully guaranteed for fresh flavor and for quality. Or how about leg of lamb, a meat value that means distinctive and hearty flavor for your meals. Properly trimmed before weighing, leg or lamb is featured this week for only 59 cents a pound. And for fresh fruit, Safeway is featuring fresh Florida oranges. 3 dozen for 89 cents. Tender and juicy with that just picked flavor. Fresh Florida oranges will be a wonderful addition for salads and all sorts of flavorings, and to put in the stocking, too, around the fireplace on Christmas. Leg of lamb, 59 cents a pound. Whole smoked picnics, 29 cents a pound. And fresh Florida oranges, 3 dozen for 89 cents this week at Safeway, where food, of course, is always first.
Captain Daybreak!
Circle Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink, brings you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak. Now, for tonight's exciting episode. Greetings, boys and girls. This is Chapter 13, Story X-432, Captain Daybreak and the Hunger Pain. As our story opens, Captain Daybreak, Chuck, Joyce, Ichabod, Pepe Lamoco, and Eddie Leonard, and the 4th Brigade from Fort Meade are all inside their efficiency apartment. As we hear Captain Daybreak say,
I'm sorry, gang, but there doesn't seem to be a thing to eat in the house. We'll have to think of something. I know we're all starving to death here.
Golly, Bumps, Captain Daybreak. Nothing to eat in the whole house?
That's what he said, Chuck. Nothing to eat in the whole house.
Oh, ask you, Joyce. I'm talking to Captain Daybreak.
That's perfectly all right, Chuck. If Joyce wants to agree with me, that's perfectly all right.
You're being sacrificed, Captain Daybreak. You mean there's nothing at all to eat in the whole house?
I'm afraid not, Ichabod. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call up this Chinese restaurant down at the corner and order some food. Now, you think...
Golly, Bumps, Captain Daybreak, that's a peachy keen idea.
All right, now, you think of what you want. I'll just dial the number here.
Bumps, I haven't had some Chinese food since last night. What do you think about that, Joy?
What was it?
I think that's great.
What was it you... Oh, hello? Yes, this is Captain Daybreak. We'd like to have an order delivered.
I'd like 2 egg rolls and some wonton soup, Captain Daybreak.
We would like to have 1 egg roll and 2 bowls of wonton soup.
I want 2 bowls of wonton soup and 1 egg roll, Captain Daybreak.
Oh, all right. Now, Ichabod, what did you want?
I'd like some chicken chow mein with almonds and a couple of almond cookies and an order of wild rice.
All right. That's some almond chow mein with chickens, some wild rice cookies, Is that right?
I want some chicken chow mein with almonds, wild rice, and some
chicken chow mein.
I'd like to have some sweet and sour pork.
Nobody asked you yet, Joyce. Just wait till Captain Daybreak gets my order.
Hello, are you there?
Two wonton soups and one egg roll.
Two egg rolls and one. This is very
the cheapest thing they can get.
I'm sorry, sir.
Get a big bay leaf and the wonton soup.
Chuck, would you? Forget the order, will you, sir?
I just wondered, a little bit of chicken chow mein and some noodles.
Never mind, Ichabod, I have a better idea. Let me call this other number here. Take care of this. Let me do it my way.
Any bumps, I think you confused that poor Chinese gentleman at the restaurant.
Just be quiet, Chuck. Hello? Little tavern shops, we'd like to buy them by the bag. Send over 4 dozen hamburgers with everything.
Golly, bumps, Uncle.
Now, boys and girls, this is Captain Daybreak with our secret Dakota message. XK-150, U-235, R-14, Z-426, X-263.
Golly bumps, Captain Daybreak.
Yeah.
What is tonight's secret decoder message?
Tonight's secret decoder message is, they're running at Laurel.
Golly bumps, Captain Daybreak.
Transcribed from Washington. They're here, the wonderful new compact Ramblers for 1961. They have new styling and new comfort and engineering features. Would you like to see your Rambler dealer? Why don't you do it tomorrow morning? You got time tomorrow? Would you go? Would you? See you tomorrow, would you please? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the richest rewards that a man has at the end of a hard day's work is the wonderful pleasure of sleep. Perfect, peaceful, plaintive, quiet sleep. And we have with us in our studio a gentleman who's going to talk about sleep, because we know that many of our listeners find it a little difficult sometimes to get a full and good night's sleep. This is Dr. Harold Tranquil, and he is the world's first scientific sleepologist. Dr. Tranquil, welcome to our show.
Thank you, and how do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
Dr. Tranquil, would you explain to our audience exactly what you do and how you do it?
I am a sleepologist. And as you pointed out to the radio audience, there are many times when it is hard for us to get to sleep because we're under such nervous tensions at the office. We find that we take these problems home with us. But by a simple formula which I have developed, I make it possible to have complete and utter relaxation.
Would you tell our listeners how they can acquire this particular project of yours?
I have several methods. The one that I'd like to demonstrate for you this evening cost in the neighborhood of $1,200 for the complete kit.
Is this kit sufficient, self-sufficient? Does it continue its values after, one time?
Oh, yes, of course. You receive a stereophonic system in your bedroom with stereophonic pillow speakers so that when you lay in bed, you hear soothing music and a recording of me reciting various things which will help you to relax.
Could we listen to that record?
Certainly, I have one of the recordings here. I'll just
Mr. Arthur Page, Mr. Tranquil, our engineer.
It's time to sleep. You are drowsy.
I'm drowsy.
You want to rest.
I want to rest.
Drop your arms to your sides.
Drop my arms to my side.
You're limp all over.
I'm limp all over.
You feel your eyes becoming heavy. And now, you're asleep.
I'm asleep.
Mr. Walker, are you asleep too? The engineer in the control room, are you asleep? Oh, yes, he is. He forgot to take the needle off the record. I can't understand it. People all over the world have tried my method for sleeping, and it works for them, but I haven't had a good night's sleep in 10 years. Well, there's only one way. Hand me that baseball bat, and I'll...
Irresistible always. And in all ways, irresistible. Wise potato chips are the extra tempting food for all occasions. They look so golden good that you just have to taste them. They taste so crisp and fresh, you can hardly stop until they're gone. That's why Wise potato chips are sure to be popular at any party, large or small. Wise potato chips pep up meals, add extra appeal to every lunch or dinner. And whenever you yearn for a snack, Wise potato chips go perfectly with your favorite beverage. Yet are so flavorful, they can be enjoyed by themselves. Party time, meal time, snack time. You and everybody you know will enjoy Wise potato chips every time. They're irresistible always. And in all ways, irresistible.
WRC Radio, in cooperation with Johnson & Swanson, the world's greatest manufacturer of first aid kits, brings you another visit with Mr. Fixit, Radio's original do-it-yourself program. Today, as we join Mr. Fixit, we find him in his outside backyard, working apparently on a couple of throat lozenges and satellites. Ahoy there, Mr. Fixit.
Ahoy there, Willard Scott, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My, it's a nice springy day, isn't it?
It certainly is beautiful out here in your backyard. Your patio that you fixed a couple of weeks ago.
Patio, yes.
Yeah, and it looks good, too. Everything is really blossoming. Your garden is lovely. What are you doing here, Mr. Fixit?
Well, my project for this evening, Scotty Boy, is something that I'm sure every homeowner likes to enjoy in the summertime, and that's the comfort of his own personal hammock.
Say there, a hammock is an appealing idea, Mr. Fixit.
That's right. You can just lay back there, swing in the breeze, nice cool drink in your hand, listening to the ball game or something, and it's a wonderful way to relax.
I notice you have one tree here, but don't you need two trees for a hammock, Mr. Fixit?
Well, not in this case. You see, this tree is close enough to the house, and I have an extra long cord on this hammock, and
I put
a hook in the side of the house so that I can anchor the hammock, one end of it to the tree, the other end of it to the house, and then I can relax.
Well, Mr. Fixit, I see you already have the hook embedded in the concrete of the cement of the house.
I just hang the hammock up here.
Okay.
Here we are. Now, see how nicely that hangs there?
The hammock is perfectly balanced. I can see you've done much work before we got here.
Certainly. Yes, indeed, because it's very time-consuming. Now, if you'll just help me up here, Willard.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fixit. Right in the hammock. There you go, old friend.
Ah, it's nice to relax. Swing back and forth in the breeze.
Mr. Fixit.
And enjoy the cool.
Mr. Fixit,
Oh, boy.
The tree is still standing, but,
Yeah, the side of the house came off.
I don't know what we're going to do, Mr. Fixit.
I know what we're going to do next week. We got the project already figured out. Get rid of the termites and put a new side on my house.
We've been visiting with Radio's original do-it-yourselfer, Mr. Fixit, brought to you by Johnson & Swanson, the world's foremost manufacturers of first aid kits. Be listening again next week when you'll hear Mr. Fixit say,
ouch!
These words out of the night from the Joy Boys Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are very fortunate to have with us in our studio the very beloved, thank you, Sammy. Sammy Skin, our WRC staff drummer, stopped in on this Friday evening to provide us with a little background music. Sammy, of course, plays the drums, and unfortunately, Sammy was installing one of those new push-pull doors that they have at the supermarkets, and the thing pulled when it should have been pushed, and it hit him right in the mouth, and he can't sing, and he's got a little bandage on his jaw. Sammy, you... Yeah, you just play. We'll listen to you. Music by Sammy Skin. This is As Time Goes By, incidentally. That's it, Sammy. Thanks a lot, Sam. That was great.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
It's again my good pleasure to announce to all of our good friends from coast to coast, from border to border, all over the world, that coming Monday, we bring back to the same NBC microphones the ever-popular, ever-lovable Edward Heston Walker. And we shall greet him with a stomach, heart, and very full. And we, this program has still been heard by...
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Overseas. George Shearing pays a visit to Mac McGarry's show in miniature tonight over NBC.
He ruined the ending.
Oh, he sounds much better than that, Willie. Sure he does. WRC and WRC-FM, NBC Radio in Washington. 7:30.